Good evening, this is Jamie Jones, and we are here once again for the Newport Music Festival series on WCRI. Obviously, this is not Mike Maino. Mike is away at the Barbershop International Contest, as he is every year, so I am filling in. But we are still joined by the wonderful Pamela Pantos.
Well, good evening, Jamie.
Good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, good. And you brought some guests with you today.
I did. Here we are in the middle of the Newport Music Festival's 50th anniversary season.
Yay.
Thank you. And I am absolutely thrilled to have with me two phenomenal artists. I have with me Trevor Neal, baritone, and Stephanie Chase, violinist. And Trevor, I've known for a few years. From when I ran Opera North, he was a young artist there, and now he is an amazing mature artist. And Stephanie played last summer here at the festival, and I sat in the audience in absolute awe. She's not only just an incredible violinist and artist, but just a consummate performer and just draws you in. So I'm absolutely thrilled to have both of these people with us. And so let's start by having them introduce themselves. Trevor, how about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing these days.
Hi, Trevor Neal here. Currently, I'm a resident company member at Opera San Jose, and it's a very unique position. I have the opportunity to perform a number of different main stage roles. This season, I made my role debuts as the Dutchman in The Flying Dutchman, as Germain in La Traviata, and as Rambaldo in Puccini's La Rondine.
Terrific. So, Stephanie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you've been doing a lot of recording and teaching and performing.
Yes, well, recent performances include something on Baroque instruments with the American Classical Orchestra at Lincoln Center. That was back in February. Then we had a repeat concert in June, of all times, 3 months later. A lot of concerto dates and then recitals here and there. I recently played in Edmonton with Sarah Davis Buchner, mm-hmm. who's joining us at the festival this summer as well. Wonderful pianist.
Yeah.
And upcoming, I'm going to be playing a whole lot of repertoire here, which I'm looking forward to. And I'll be at other festivals. And then in August, I'm making my first trip to a festival in Vietnam.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So I'll be performing in Hanoi and Saigon. And I've played quite a lot through Southeast Asia and Asia, but this will be a first for me. So I'm looking forward to that. And
wow.
The first concert's going to be Stephanie Chase and Friends.
Oh, wow. That's very exciting.
I think they'll be newly minted Friends. But but I'm excited about that.
Oh, of course. How thrilling. Well, let's keep you on the microphone for a moment. So, you know, you're performing several pieces this summer. Why don't you tell us about perhaps, you know, one concert that particularly interests you, maybe a piece that has been a friend for a long time. And then in a moment, we'll talk about maybe some newer things. But tell us about one of your friends.
Well, among my friends, musically speaking, are the Souvenir de Florence of Tchaikovsky. And it's a reminiscence of a trip to Florence, Italy. And it's just glorious music, and he writes in such a spirited manner, and it's for six musicians, and so it requires a lot of cooperation, but it's beautiful, beautiful music, very lyrical, very virtuosic, and I think it's the best of all possible worlds in terms of a music composition. The exciting thing about playing chamber music is that each interpretation can be a little different,
mm-hmm.
and I'll come into a festival with some ideas, you know, pretty strong ideas about how I think a piece might go, but depending on my colleagues, you know, that their style of playing might influence me, their ideas. And mm-hmm. so it's always an evolving process, which is what makes chamber music such a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And another friend I'm going to be visiting with is the Brahms A Major Sonata, which
yes.
is a beautiful work. In fact, I played a whole Brahms series with Sarah Davis Buchner in Canada a couple mm-hmm. years ago. Great music, and that A Major is particularly lovely. And I'm doing Vivaldi's Four Seasons
yes.
concertos.
Nice.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, very excited about that.
So yeah, and then many other things,
mm-hmm.
including some that I don't know so well.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So one thing I did want to ask you about is the opening night concert where you're playing the Dvorak American String Quartet and the Mendelssohn Octet.
Well, this will be the first time that I'm leading Mendelssohn's Octet.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's for eight players. It's for two string quartets,
yeah.
and it's a lot of his music because he didn't live a long life,
right.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Imagine what he would have done had he. It has this wonderful mastery of the form. I mean, imagine writing for two string quartets playing mm-hmm. simultaneously. Virtuosic music and yet effervescent
mm-hmm.
and lyrical. Very, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a piece with eight players requires a lot of cooperation.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to, you know, receiving ideas as well as giving them. And as I said, you know, that's what's great about playing at festivals and playing with different musicians is that interpretations will evolve. But yeah, it's a fantastic piece of music. And the Dvorak string quartet that we're doing is the one subtitled American, right. F major. It's right. One of his most popular string quartets. And there's a little bit of a family connection because he came to the United States and was in residence in Spillville, Iowa. He also was the head of a conservatory in New York for, right. I think, 2 years. Yep. And so he was in the United States, but he was collecting music. Mm-hmm. You know, he was, a lot of these composers, we think of them as, oh, it's classical music. They're world music composers because they're listening to sounds that are not from their own surroundings or their own culture or their own histories, and they're integrating it into their music and excited by it. So we hear this happening with Dvorak in the string quartet because there are Native American rhythms, for instance. Mm-hmm. And I think the slow movement is a spiritual, mm-hmm. you know, very, very beautiful and evocative music. And the family connection for me is that my mother's father came from Bohemia. And after studying in Vienna, he ended up coming to the United States and settled in Iowa.
Oh, my gosh.
In the northwest corner in a little town called Cherokee. And I think among the people from whatever it was called in those days, Bohemia was very large, I think, at that time.
Right.
So I don't know, strictly speaking, whether Dvorak was from that region or not, but I mean, that general area. But there was something, I think, that reminded them of the old country, mm-hmm. and yet they saw opportunities.
That's amazing.
And so there's this excitement, I think. And then, of course, the western half of the United States was opening up,
right.
to populations, mm-hmm. and they were really distributing land. It was possible to buy huge tracts of farmland. And so there was this sense of excitement about what was going on at that time in places like Iowa.
Amazing. So, Trevor, you're joining us for the first time this year.
Yes.
We are very excited to have you here.
As am I.
So let's tell us a little bit about some of the music that you're going to be performing, maybe some older friends of yours.
I will be doing the Copland Old American Songs as my first contribution to the festival. And I want to get into that a little bit later because I want to talk about Jake Heggie first.
Oh,
and his
cool.
music.
Oh, how wonderful.
I've had the privilege of working with him prior engagement, Moby Dick, the premiere at Dallas Opera. I was fortunate to sing the small role of Dagu,
okay.
Which is a chorus bit role, by the way, mind you. So it's very forgettable. And I also have the privilege to revisit that work again this upcoming season of Opera San Jose.
Wow.
But the reason I want to talk about Heggie first is because I found his cycle A Question of Light very interesting, because he finds these motifs throughout the paintings that he saw and he writes music to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the music that he wrote to it is absolutely spellbounding.
Mm-hmm.
And it really speaks to these paintings, and you, without even taking a glance at the painting, you know exactly what the illustrator was going for through mm-hmm. Heggie's music. One specific song that really grabbed me was a motif back to Moby Dick, and it was the soliloquy of Starbuck,
uh-huh.
when he sings the musket aria where he sings to Ahab and tells him that he should kill him right now as he sleeps on the bed. Heggie takes this aria and completely transforms it into something beautiful and positive. And for a composer to do that is very, very mind-blowing. That tells you that he was able to take something that he originally meant for a specific situation, mm-hmm. and transform it to make the current situation something a little bit more light.
Yeah, no, I would say that my relationship, you know, or my experience with Jake is exactly what you're talking about, that he is a real thinking composer and a feeling composer. And so that transformation that you're talking about, you know, when I said to him that we had this opportunity to do a concert at the art museum, he said, well, Pamela, let me think about it. And he came back and said, I've written songs and an entire cycle about works of art. How about if we perform music about works of art in a place where works of art are, you know, housed? And so you're right. He's this incredible thinking, feeling kind of composer that we're so fortunate to have at the festival this year.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I happen to know about you is that your German is outstanding when you sing. I lived in Germany for 18 years, so I think I'm allowed to say that.
Right.
So you're doing a beautiful set of Schubert songs on the 9th, mm-hmm. right? At one of the concerts on the morning of the 9th called Romantic Morning.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about those Schubert songs. Some of them are from Winterreise, and some of them are just Standing Alone. Talk a little bit about, because you selected that set yourself.
Yes. I tried to find pieces that Schubert wrote that were accessible to the audience, but also got the point across. Something that wasn't too long, that held the audience's attention, but also see the beauty and also the transfiguration that she was writing. So I'm of the belief that every baritone should have at least started or have sang some part of Vintonizing.
There you go.
And so it was very important for me, especially as someone who has never done them before.
Okay.
Don't judge me. So I thought it was very important, and it was a great opportunity for me to really delve into these works and get them into my repertoire.
Well, it's going to be an outstanding concert. So without any further ado, let's listen to something that you brought with us today, a recording of your singing.
Yes, this is completely unrelated to the festival, but...
Well, you are performing opera here,
This is correct. So this recording I have today is Eddie II from Verdi's Un ballo in maschera.
We'll take a listen to that, and then we'll be back.
Thank you.
And we are back. Pamela, why don't you tell us where people can buy tickets?
Oh, how wonderful. Yes. So tickets are on sale online at newportmusic.org, or you can call the box office at 401-849-0700. But people should hurry, if I may so, because already 9 concerts are sold out.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We like to hear that.
Absolutely. So, Trevor, now that we got to hear your beautiful voice, you're performing at 2 opera evenings.
Yes.
The Rossini,
yes,
Opera and More, and French Opera Night.
Yes.
Tell us about an aria that might be maybe a bit newer to you.
Well, first I want to start off by saying that both of these evenings feature music that I have little to no experience in. I don't sing much Rossini, and the French repertoire, I haven't delved into it as much as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm fortunate enough to do both of these concerts, and one of the arias that I'm really excited about is the Diamond Aria from Tales of Hoffmann. And I hear you have quite a bit of experience in this opera.
Yes, I sang 3 roles in this opera, so I do know it quite well. What I think is interesting is that Trevor's singing an aria called the Diamond Aria by a character throughout the opera. There's this evil character who transforms himself in each act. And this act, he is called Dappertutto, which means literally everywhere. So he is Mr. Everywhere and Mr. Every Evil. And so in this aria, you are literally casting a spell, casting a spell to allure, right, someone to do something quite horrible, namely Giulietta, who is a courtesan. So talk a little about what the interior of this aria is really about.
I think people really completely misunderstand his motives for being evil.
Oh, go ahead.
That's my personal opinion.
Okay, I want to hear this.
I'm sure you're going to have something different to say. I think he is genuine in his approach to her.
Okay.
I don't really want to go any further because you're giving me the dark eyes over here.
This is spoken like a true mezzo. So basically, he uses the diamond to get Giulietta to do something that she perhaps otherwise wouldn't do. But people should really come to this concert. It is a phenomenal concert. It is on the 14th, Saturday the 14th of July at 8:30 p.m. at the Breakers. The reason this concert is a little later in the evening is because we are inviting all of our patrons for that evening. There are 2 concerts to attend a wine tasting in between the 2 concerts as part of your ticket price. The earlier concert is at 6:30 and it's Bonsoir. And both of these concerts are French of nature because it happens to be the 14th of July, namely Bastille Day. So we'll let you off the hook with that French one. But to talk about French repertoire, I want to get Stephanie back on the microphone here. Stephanie, you were talking about a piece that you had not played before that is also French in origin.
Yes, it's a collection of 3 works called Triptyque by Saint-Saëns. And my understanding is that these were composed for the Queen Elizabeth of Belgium, who was a very established amateur violinist. Yeah. In fact, there's the Reine Elisabeth competition, concours, right. Which is held every, I think, for 4 years in Belgium and is one of the great violin competitions worldwide. And so I think he probably wrote this for her, and it might reflect some of her own capabilities or lack thereof, but it's nice music. The second movement is called Vision Congolaise, a vision of the Congo, essentially, because right. That was a great, Belgium was in the Congo for many years. Yeah. That's where the diamonds were being mined, which is interesting. And it's very funny, though, because in playing this piece, I had the feeling he never heard music from the Congo ever, because it sounds a lot like his Havanaise,
yes,
which is music from Havana in Cuba. So, but I've never played this before, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's, it's always wonderful when we get to add new repertoire, and especially by an established composer like that, it just sort of has eluded us for some reason.
Oh,
and so there are 3, and the third work has to do with feeling joyful.
Yeah.
Yes. And the first one is sort of a prelude, I think.
Uh-huh.
It would be best to characterize it.
I happen to love this piece.
I
think it's really quite light. Saint-Saëns can get very deep if some of his other repertoire, very almost melancholy, right? And this stays on the lighter side.
Yes, and it's very lyrical. When these composers who are from France and Belgium, write music for early 20th century music, basically. It's a wonderful sense of lyricism, the vocal aspects of the pieces are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But then also you end up maybe a little less with Saint-Saëns, but this idea of impressionism, because I'm looking forward to playing the string quartets of Debussy and Ravel as well this summer. And
right.
Those are amazing, amazing works.
Yeah. And we're about to hear something by Saint-Saëns from you.
Yes, this is a recording that I made a number of years ago. It's of the Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso by Camille Saint-Saëns. And here I'm accompanied by the Philharmonia Orchestra, which is one of the great English orchestras, conducted by Jeffrey Simon.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes, we'll listen to that, and then we'll be back.
Terrific.
Thank you.
And we are back with Pamela and guests Trevor Neal and Stephanie Chase.
And I just wanted to make sure that all of our listeners knew how to buy tickets. To go to the Newport Music website, you go to newportmusic.org, or you can call the box office at 401-849-0700. And Stephanie and I, just a moment ago, were talking about the website. We have reserved seating this year, so you can actually pick your seats, print your tickets at home, or have them waiting for you at will call. Also, what's interesting about the website is you can see all the biographies of the performers. You see their face pop up on the concert or on the artist page, and you just click on it, you can see their full biography. You can also listen to clips of the music. There's a little section media at the bottom of the page, so you can actually listen to some of the music. And I was really thrilled that to get some calls of people saying, you know, it was really wonderful that I could listen to a clip of something that I didn't recognize.
Right, right.
And I bought tickets because I was so enamored with the piece of music. So talking of enamored, you were just telling us, Trevor, about something that's coming up that you're very excited and enamored about.
Yes, I am very happy to be reunited with a wonderful piece that was actually presented to me in my first operatic program that you ran,
uh-oh,
Opera North.
Uh-oh, long time ago.
Kurt Weill's Street Scene.
What a great piece.
A wonderful piece, just a magical piece. I'm doing that at Virginia Opera Association. Then I'll go back to Opera San Jose, and I have a number of roles I'm doing there, but the one I'm most excited about is to, of course, reconnect with Jake Hagee there and do his Moby Dick, which I'll be involved in for the second time, but in this time in a different role, not quite the character bit role that I had before, but as the Captain Gardner, who shows up the latter half of the opera. So those are some exciting things happening for me, and of course a main stage role debut of Sharpless and Madame Butterfly, also at Opera San Jose. So those are some things that are coming up for me.
Well, very exciting. Stephanie, you had told us that you're off to another part of the world to play. What are some other things coming up for you in the near future?
Well, after I return from Vietnam, okay, it will be time for New York University to resume, which is where I teach violin and chamber music at least one day a week. So, okay, and I'm looking forward to a very short break to sort of get myself back together, because I'll be at other festivals in Martha's Vineyard and Maine. In addition, yes, you know, from leaving Newport, I'll be at those festivals. Then I go to Vietnam. So it's pretty much wall-to-wall festivals. And then actually, I'll be going to a festival that's going to be new for me. It's in California, and they're mixing cuisine and music.
Oh, that sounds so lovely.
Which is always a good idea for musicians. And so that's I think the third week of September. So I'll be sort of getting out of New York almost immediately and going off to another festival. But then I have some other concerto dates and recitals and things like that coming up.
Terrific. Well, I know you have brought us some more music, so we're definitely going to listen to another piece of yours. But before we do that, why don't you preface what we're going to listen to?
I've brought along some music that I think will be new to a lot of the listeners. It's music for violin and guitar by a composer named Mauro Giuliani, and he was born in 1781 in Italy and died in 1829. Mm-hmm. He was a virtuoso guitarist, a singer, and of course a composer, but he also wrote very effectively for the violin, and it's virtuoso music for the two of us.
Wow.
This is a fairly recent recording that I did for what was E1 Entertainment, before that Koch Records, mm-hmm, and it's a compilation of these works for violin and guitar, so we'll hear one of them. The guitarist is the wonderful Richard Savino.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, we have a wonderful guitarist as well. Sean Scheiba is coming to join us this summer, and we have him for several concerts. And so if anyone loves violin and guitar, I hope they'll join us. We're going to listen to those wonderful pieces that Stephanie described for us just a moment ago. So Stephanie and Trevor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jamie, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for everybody listening to me. And everybody enjoy the festival as it's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.